In a matter of days, LSE went from a buzzing campus with academics, societies, and in-person support structures to a digital network, connected through precarious internet connections and lighthearted virtual backgrounds. But does this substitute for a true university experience? We ask a diverse group of students from the LSE community how they review LSE's virtual campus. We discuss mental health, opposing time zones, student societies, learning disabilities, and halls of residence. These are just a few of the things which make up our LSE campus, but through examining these different angles, we hope to understand just what this virtual reality means for our community. Today, I'm going to be talking to Emma Guidera, a third-year student studying international relations, about how she's been coping with LSE's virtual campus from an opposing time zone in Australia. And I'm your host today, Angbina Bas. Hi, Emma. Nice to have you here today.
Hi, Aberdeen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So we're starting these episodes with the same questions for all our guests. First of all, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm on my way to finishing my dissertation, so I had a good day today.
I'm glad to hear that. And how are you coping?
Okay, you know, I'm just at home. I'm very lucky to have been able to fly back in time to be with my family. So I'm just like taking every day as they come, I guess.
Yeah. So talking about how individuals are experiencing LSE's virtual campus, I wanted to talk about how you've restructured your day to keep up with classes and assessments, considering the fact that you live in Australia, which is how many hours away in terms of time zone differences?
Okay, so when I actually came, we had both countries weren't on daylight saving yet. So it was 11 hours difference, which was a bit tough.
Yeah,
but now we're only on 8 hours because both countries have changed time. So it's a bit easier to, you know, make the calls and keep up with my friends.
Yeah, of course. I mean, 8 hours is still a pretty crazy time difference to have. So how have you practically had to restructure your day to keep up with classes?
So I have 4 modules this term, 2 of which were like seminar based. So 2 hours of class, no lectures, which was quite, I guess, difficult to skip or in any shape or form. But one of the seminar leaders decided to just record everything. And that was at 3 a.m. my time. So I couldn't attend that, but I did have the recordings. I had another seminar that was at 9 a.m. British time. So that was 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. in Australia. And I made those 3 seminars. The first time I was really, really jet lagged. So it was really hard to stay awake until 10. I think I had to turn off my camera near the end because I was literally dropping asleep. But otherwise it's been okay. One of my teachers actually opened an extra seminar slot for people who had moved back to Southeast Asia and Australia. So we had like an extra class for the only 5 people. Which was actually like really good because it was only the people who were motivated enough who came. Yeah. And then my last class was also in the morning, so it was doable. And then everything else was recorded.
That's good to hear. And it's good that your instructor was accommodating enough to consider that there'd be students who would need a change in class timing to like keep up with their schedules and everything.
Yeah.
I understand that every department is doing assessments a little differently. So like my department, the Department of Sociology, is giving us around a week to submit our online exams. I mean, you know, you're supposed to do it in the 3-hour period, but you do have the freedom to decide when and how that's going to be. I wanted to know how your department was approaching assessments and whether it's made the experience easier or it's going to be a challenge.
Right. So I was really worried because I, like, moving back to Australia, it was a bit of a gamble whether you know, my exams would be at like 2 a.m. or, you know, those kind of crazy times. But so I actually take law, human rights law, for my dissertation. And there wasn't any extension on that. So it's still due the 4th of May. They didn't really give us any extensions. But because I'm not part of the law department, I don't know what kind of processes went on behind that decision. I also do a geography half module. And the teacher was very accommodating with like us sending in formatives very late. She still marked them. But we have a summative coming up on the same day as my dissertation, and that wasn't moved either, so it's still due on the 5th of May. And then I have three exams, so one of them is geography, and then the two others are IR, and all of them have been moved forward, which is a bit crazy because I'm still writing my dissertation and have a summative to hand in. But because they're all half modules, it's probably going to be easier than what most of my cohort is going through, because all of my IR friends have like something like crazy amounts of work, because everything has been turned into a summative. So we've got 2 weeks to complete different summatives that they're going to release on given dates. And I have 5,000 words to write over the course of 2 weeks, but certain people have like 20,000 words because they had four modules, and obviously that's a lot bigger word count for things that weigh in. So yeah, wishing them luck. We did sign an open letter as third years to our department, but it literally didn't change anything.
Yeah, of course. I mean, LSE hasn't really responded substantially to a lot of the talk that's been going on about adopting a no detriment policy. Yeah. And it mostly has been up to departments to decide how they want to go about things.
Yeah.
So it really is a matter of, you know, if you're lucky enough to be in a department where you have a few more allowances and things are made a little easier.
Yeah. We did manage to lobby for an extension for people who do an IR dissertation, which was quite good. That's thanks to our class representatives who wrote like letters and we all signed. But obviously, because my dissertation is part of a law module, I don't get to benefit from that. But I guess, yeah, IR did hear us on that point at least, even if I think it's definitely going to be a struggle for people who then have exams.
Yeah, for sure. That's still something. So since you're working on a dissertation, beyond stuff like time zones and how assessments are going to be carried out virtually, I wanted to ask about what sort of issues you might have faced in getting access to the resources that you might need, the help that you might need in writing a dissertation, for the sort of structures that exist on campus. Like you have the library, you have professors that you can meet in person.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm quite lucky because I'm in a house of scholars, more or less. So my sister goes to Monash University in Australia, and my mum works at Sydney Uni. She's a doctor. Both of them are doctors, but they're both affiliated to different universities. So the shutdown has obviously impacted the resources here, but I've been using both of their accounts illegally to get access to books that I didn't have access to with the LSE library, because a lot of the books that I was using are like law texts that I can't necessarily get online. For some reason, Australian universities are a lot more advanced than LSE's library, I'd hate to say, even if LSE does have like a lot more diversity in what they have. So it's been really helpful in that way that I've been able to access stuff online through that. Yeah, otherwise, well, I guess my teachers have been responsive. I'm not really one of those students who will like email 24/7 either. But yeah, just like on questions of word counts and stuff, I guess we've received a few emails, but yeah, I don't think I've been impacted that much, to be honest. The only thing is the fact that I'm working from home, but I guess everyone's experiencing the same thing, being stuck in one room and, you know, being around a busy family life isn't always easy to focus when I usually would be at the library or, you know, at Senate House.
Yeah, of course. And how have you been coping with the sort of difficulty that comes with feeling kind of isolated from, you know, other people on your course, in your classes, that mm-hmm. sort of lack of an academic community that you might have being on a physical campus? How have you guys been connecting with each other?
Yeah, so I'm really lucky to be in like quite a few societies. But it's definitely been hard, especially because, I mean, all the conversations happen overnight and then I wake up and I have to catch up to like a billion messages. And then everyone's asleep by the time I catch up to them. So yeah, it's not always been easy, especially, you know, when I just like, I think it hits at like a low point in the afternoon where my head is really full and I really just want to talk to someone. And you know, everyone's asleep in the UK. But what have we been doing? Well, so with my soccer team, I play football. We just have, well, we used to have pub Tuesdays, which was like every Tuesday we'd just like choose a random pub around campus and meet up there. So we now have Zoom pub Tuesdays, which people have been nice enough to organize around. Well, so we have quite a few Americans, and then so they're like 15 hours behind me. And then, yeah, my timings. So people in the UK call like midday, and then a few Americans get up at like 8 a.m. in the morning, and then I'm there at like 11 p.m. So that's all fun. No one drinks because it's such an odd time for everyone. We'll get to talk. Yeah. Oh, and my drama. So I was part of Drama Society as well. And they decided to try a fitness challenge. So everyone tries to participate. And we have a big Excel sheet and a Google Doc where we put what we've done during the day, which is quite nice. Except I always miss the Zooms because odd times again, but that's fine.
Yeah, of course. but it is cool that, you know, these different societies have been able to sort of bridge that gap. I mean, I imagine coordinating stuff from, you know, the US to Australia must be quite a struggle.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like really nice that we've been able to keep in touch and accommodate to everyone's timings. I think, like, you know, stuff when you're a team, it's and you're used to seeing each other like five times a week, it's really nice to be able to still, you know, have those like times when you get to catch up and check in on each other. So that's definitely a plus.
Yeah, and I guess with this virtual campus, it is important to, you know, take care of each other in that sense, be present for each other, because, you know, everyone's struggling. And I think the hardest thing for a lot of people to cope with is that sort of like loss of community.
For sure. And I think, especially for us for years, but like for everyone, I guess it hit us really hard because we were not sure if and when we're going to see each other again. And because, you know, I do international relations, we're all very international, from international backgrounds, and everyone flew home really fast. We didn't have time to say goodbye. And because our graduation's been postponed, maybe cancelled, then there was this real sense of loss of maybe this was the last time I saw this person and I didn't even know that it was. So in that sense, yeah, it's been quite sad, but trying to keep on hoping and just saying, like, checking in, making sure that everyone's okay. It's always nice to, I don't know, just keep in touch, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, it must be hard not having that experience of, you know, your last few classes and last few lectures on campus, being able to, I don't know if dissertations are submitted online, but, you know, having that feeling of holding this thing you've been working on.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to hold the thing I've been working on, to be honest. I kind of don't want to see it again ever. yeah, I know what you mean. And I was reflecting on that today, actually, because I'm almost done. And last year, one of my best friends who graduated last year, and I like remember printing it out for her, and we went and took pictures, and it was just like really wholesome and really nice. And it was really sunny outside, and I don't know, like, I guess it would have been so nice just to have like the sunny LSE campus that we have during exam period, where like everyone's stressed, but we're all together and we all go sit in a park and we all go complain and then we go back to work. So I think, yeah, I guess, I don't know, obviously nothing is ideal, but you know, life goes on, and hopefully we'll all be in London at one point, at least to have like a mock graduation or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So our final questions for everyone we've been interviewing. The first one is, what do you miss most from LSE's real campus?
What do I miss most? I'm not sure. I think like this is going to sound really weird, but I miss like the plaza in front of like the SU, where like everyone is always trying to like pamphlet you as you walk by.
Yes.
Like I just miss it, like, because there was always someone I knew and I could stop and like pretend I was interested in what they were saying and then steal a cupcake and, you know.
Yeah, there'd always be like a stall with free stuff. I remember like signing up for a police thing that I have no interest in, just to get some free donuts. Exactly. And that's also like the place where the Hare Krishna stand would be whenever it would be on campus.
Yeah, and then there's that like cute bookstore that I always like walked in and just randomly looked at books, and then it's teeny so you can't do anything with it and walk back out and you know, and there's always someone around that's like rushing to class and you're like, oh my god, hi, let's catch coffee, bye, and then like never go catch coffee, but you know, it's just really nice.
yeah I get that. And yeah, my second question is, what do you think you've gained from LSE's virtual space?
Gained? Well, the fact I'm very much a go to my lectures, go to my classes person, and I'd never actually really listened to recordings. So now I have, and I can officially say I am a lot more focused and can write a lot more things down when I'm not distracted by the people in the room. So I guess that's a plus.
That is definitely a plus.
I guess it's more the fact that like I'm quite a slow typer, so I can actually pause, type everything, and then keep on going.
Well, yeah, it was lovely to have you. Thanks for speaking to us today.
No, of course. Thank you so much for having me. And please take care. And yeah, good luck to everyone out there who is also struggling in any shape or form.
Thank you for listening. And we hope you enjoyed today's episode. For this episode, I spoke to Emma Guterre, a third year engaging with LSE's virtual campus from her home in Australia. To keep up to date with future episodes, subscribe to Beaver Sound on Spotify.